Who are you?
Whoever you want me to be.
Don't say I never gave you anything.
It's feeling epic.
Three words. Eight letters.
I remember everything.
Hello, hello, you little shrimp on the barbies. Hello, mates.
Stay deadly, hotly high.
I think your accent's good, Claire. I'm mad.
Thanks.
I'm mad.
Thank you.
Do you think I improved on mine at all?
I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Catch some righteous surf, bra.
That was pretty good.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, a thumbs up from producer Jesse. That's good. Well, welcome back to Previously on Teen TV. We have another very special episode for you today. If you couldn't tell, we are back in Australia because we're talking all about Heartbreak High Season 2.
Yes, I was very excited to see that the show got a Season 2. And one of my favorite parts about when we talked about Season 1 was quizzing Jillian on all the Australian slang that is used on the show.
Yes.
So I thought we'd bring that game back for our discussion of Season 2 today.
Oh, I'm excited. I was paying attention more to the slang.
Okay.
When I was watching Season 2. I was like, oh, that's one of those words Claire was saying. Like, I was like, this is quite frequent in the show. I can't believe I never looked any of it up. So,
well,
but again, I still did not look it up. Like, I was just more aware of it.
Okay.
But, you know, good. I was just putting together my context clues.
Well, let's see if you can figure these out by context clues. I have words for you. I have how they were used on the show this time. I wrote them down.
Oh my
I took
God.
Notes.
You really did your homework.
I did.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
Are we ready?
Let's do it. I'm like nervous. I'm a little
Oh, you're fine. You're going to be great. The first word is chat, as in that vest is chat.
Oh my God. That vest is chat. Well, they didn't like the vest, so I'm going to go with, like, bad.
Yes, it says ugly, gross, or disgusting.
Okay, I was pretty close. I don't know why I didn't think of the word ugly. I just said bad.
Bad is good. I knew what you meant.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, you've cooked it, or these boys are cooked.
Oh, I, like, really do not know what this means, but I do remember hearing this in the show.
Okay.
These boys are cooked.
Used in two different
high.
Not quite.
From drugs.
Not too high on life?
Yeah. No, not high on life.
So cooked is like messed up or fucked up. So like you've cooked it. Like you fucked it up. These boys are cooked. Oh. These boys are all fucked up. Like they're messed up.
Okay. I like that though. I'm going to start saying that. These
cooked.
Boys are cooked.
Yeah.
I love that. Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. I say no wookas, but deep down I got many wookas.
Oh, God. These are hot. What weird words. Wooka. It sounds like Star Wars. Like Wookie? Isn't that from Star Wars?
It's spelled W-U-C-K-A-S.
Wooka. Use it in a sentence one more time for me, please.
I say no wookas, but deep down I got many wookas.
Oh, God. Is it something sexual?
It's not.
Oh. Maybe like lovers.
No, it's worries.
Oh, like,
I say no worries, but actually I do have worries.
Okay.
She literally said not sexual.
Oh, okay. Next. I got love on the brain.
Don't be a Nigel. Lowercase.
Nigel Thornberry?
No, it's not that specific.
Oh,
maybe
I
it comes
really
from
thought
there.
It was. Don't be a Nigel.
Uh-huh.
Maybe like, a dweeb, a nerd.
Yes, a male with no friends / a social outcast.
Okay, I was pretty close. Yeah. We would call that nerd here in America.
Yeah. There you go. Don't be a Nigel. Don't be a nerd. Okay.
We would call that Screech.
Screech, nice. Another teen show reference.
Yeah.
He's at a bush doof. Bush doof is the phrase. Someone's at a bush doof.
Bush doof. Like farm party, like, you know,
close.
How we have like parties and like
in the cornfield.
Yeah. Cornfield party.
Similar. Yes. An outdoor rave or party.
Okay.
Like an organized outdoor party. Nice.
Good for me. Well, I know what the party one was.
This next one is quite specific.
Okay.
It's like a proper noun. So
okay.
Someone says you're feral. No amount of Lynx Africa can change that. This one's a hard one. I didn't catch it first time.
I remember this being used in the show, and I was kind of confused. I was like, what'd they say? No amount of Lynx Africa.
Mm-hmm. Lynx is
What is the slang in this sentence?
Lynx Africa is the slang. I was like, it's a proper feral. Noun. It's something specific. This one's a tricky one.
Is it like a form of money? Like,
it's the Aussie version of like Axe body spray.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a body spray, according to my research, that young men will use like in the locker room or type of thing. So for clarity, I referenced a BuzzFeed article that was like all the Aussie slang used in season 2 of Heartbreak High. And this one was on that list. And it didn't say Axe body spray, but like immediately I was like, oh, that's what all the boys in my middle school and high school used. So,
oh my God, that is so funny.
Yeah. So they have their own version of it.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating. Okay. That was a good one. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes. Thank you. Should we do one more?
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Is there one better than Lynx Africa?
There, it's not, but we'll give
like
it a shot.
I just feel that was such like a high school one. Like, you know, that smell. Oh yeah. That was so funny. Mm-hmm. And what a weird, interesting name.
Never known a day's hard yakka in their life.
Never known a day's hard yakka in their life. Days like hard work?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Hard days.
All
work.
Right.
It's a hard knock life.
Okay. Great job.
I did pretty well that time.
You did.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. That was like fun slang too. Yeah. Those were like fun words.
Like Lynx Africa is like fun.
Yeah.
Cooked. We're going to use cooked all the time.
Wookie or whatever it was.
Wookas.
Wookas.
Wookas. Got what no wookas.
What was the last one too?
Bush doof. Outdoor party.
Bush doof.
Nigel.
I can't wait to host a bush doof.
I can't wait to see you drop it in a sentence around people who don't know that it's Australian
slang. I'm
going to
be using all of these now. They're so fun. Do people in Australia like say these words, or is this like specific to?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, what region are these?
Let
words?
Us know in the comments.
Yeah, yeah. If you're from Australia, please like let us know.
I need to know. I'm fascinated by it. I just love the way they talk on this show. It is so fun.
It is fun.
Wow. I mean, season 2. Yeah. Like, what a journey.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed it overall.
I think overall it was a good season 2. I think season 2 and these shows are notoriously very difficult and very, like, they fall flat on their face all the time. I did think this one was pretty good. Why don't you give us a little synopsis on what happened, Claire?
I would love to. All right.
Tell the listeners what went down at Hartley High in season 2.
Season 2. So we pick up on the first day of term 11. Dusty is nowhere to be seen. He's at the all boys school now, which is unfortunate. But we have two new faces, Zoe, who is Missy's cousin and leader of the Puritines, which is an abstinence group, and Rowan, who is this mysterious new boy from Dubbo, which is out in like the regions. They think he's like a farm kid, but he's like, I'm not from the farm. They're back in Sluts this year, but on the first day, Spider leads the male students in a walkout with the help of this new male PE teacher. And he leads the boys in forming this new group called the Cum Lords, who are sort of competing against the Sluts for school spaces. Spider also runs for school captain, which I assume is like class president. As leader of the Cum Lords party, he runs against Sasha, who's running on an activist platform. And Amory throws her hat into the ring because she wants to prove to everyone that she's changed. She's a better person. But someone is targeting Amory and trying to teach her a lesson and also just get her in trouble by leaving dead birds all over the place and putting her on blast for
Crazy.
These things. It's insane. And they nickname this person Bird Psycho. And Quinny makes it her mission to figure out who Bird Psycho is and why they are targeting Amory. So that is our mystery of the season. And then we also get the usual like makeups, breakups, hookups, etc.
Parties. Yes. All the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff. Yeah.
All the stuff I'm there for.
Exactly.
Well, in our last episode, we did cover season 1 of Heartbreak High. And we made some like predictions and, you know, what we thought might happen, what we wanted to happen. So let's see if we were right on those. We're going to bring in producer Jesse here. And she's going to remind us what we said, because who knows what I'm saying half the time on this thing. So,
all right. Yeah. So the first thing that you all predicted was that you wanted to see more of Harper and Amory's friendship in season two. So where do we think we landed on that?
I would say, like, we did see more, but I think we were right on that. We called that. I kind of wanted more.
Yeah, we get a lot of them in the first episode, especially Amory being really protective of Harper to the point where Harper's like, you need to back off a little bit and let me, you know, stand on my own. And then by the end of the season, it's the opposite where Harper is like, you know, trying to push Malachi away for Amory's benefit, and she sort of oversteps. But even though their friendship was intact throughout the season, we didn't get a ton of scenes of them just like having fun.
I think like we thought that like in season two they were gonna like be just like having a lot of fun together and being silly, and like we really kind of see like the foundation of their friendship, and I feel like we didn't get a lot of that. But I do feel like it's also partly because, like, Harper is still, you know, like, dealing with her trauma from season one. Like, not much time has passed. So she's still growing through it. So I get why, like, it wasn't all, like, you know, sleepovers and hair braiding and watching Love is Blind. But we did get some good moments.
We did.
I would say we were right.
Yeah, we got.
I'm saying we're right.
We got more of the friendship, just not the happy sides of the friendship. Yeah. But we did see the bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Okay. And the next thing you all mentioned is that you wanted to see more growth from the boys, and that at the end of season one, they kind of all turned out to be assholes. So what did we see from the boys in season two?
I mean, we did see growth. It did not happen till the very end.
It did not.
It did not. I think we like digressed or they decreased. Like,
you know, I think it was gradual because they start off the episode one.
Yeah.
And they're like, come lords, like fuck women and all. And it's really bad and it stays bad. But we see throughout the course of the season that both Spider and Ant in particular are really softening, partly because of the relationships that they're developing with specific girls on the show.
Yeah.
And they, by the finale, they're basically like, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we following this toxic man who hates women? You know, women are people too, which is a radical concept, but you know, we do see them get there eventually.
It was like interesting to like be able to actually like see that journey. So
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we got the growth. We were right.
We got it. Eventually we got
it. We did end season one like bad.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we saw that journey, and I'm glad we got some growth from some of these Hartley boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the next thing was that you wanted to see more of Darren and Cash's relationship, and like see them actually together. So
we definitely got that. I mean, I loved seeing like their relationship and seeing them try to like work things out and actually like listen to each other, which again, though, this was like a journey throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. This is like one of the more relationships we actually saw throughout the entire season. But I feel like, you know, we really did see them like care for each other and really like do their best to try and like make it work despite like all their obstacles that they have to go through.
Yeah, I think there's a scene too where they're talking, one of them is talking to Nan, I can't remember which one of them, but and Nan is saying like, you know, you were in like this happy phase at the beginning and now you're dealing with the real stuff now that Cash is out of prison and he's back in school, and they're having to really navigate what it means to actually be a couple out in public, because before that they weren't ever a couple, they were just like, you know, beginning the relationship. And so I really appreciate seeing them deal with like, what is this like? Like, we're moving in together.
Right.
Cash is still dealing with all the Chuck stuff, and Darren is trying to navigate like around Cash's sort of sexuality and what does that mean. And I appreciate the moment when, after Darren runs off and stays with Dusty, they come back and they are like, this is where I was. And they just say it and acknowledge it like head on and don't try to like play mind games or hide it. They're just like, I was with Dusty and nothing happened and whatever. So, yeah. And they're just, I don't know where they stand at the end of season two. It's a little confusing, but I do know that they love each other and they would do anything to make the other person happy.
I know. I feel like they ended it with them like at least like being like, okay, we're going to try at this, like, again, instead of just giving up. And I did love that speech from Nan, too, where she was like, oh, it's hard now. Like, that doesn't mean you just, like, give up on this. Like, you have to fight for it. You have to, like, communicate with each other. And, like, it is just, like, such a great speech. Because I do feel like even, like, as I was watching it, I was like, maybe they shouldn't be together. Right. Like, this does seem, like, kind of hard. But, like, I think a lot of it is, though, is, like, they just really weren't, like, communicating with each other either. And they were trying to kind of, like, bend for the other person, which you can't do. But it doesn't also mean that you don't try. Like, you gotta try. So, Nan coming in with the words of wisdom, I loved.
Yeah.
We love Nan.
We do.
So, wait, were we right?
I think we were right.
Yeah,
we
were right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot what the prediction was at first.
Ding, ding. Okay, and then you also wanted to learn more about the other characters like Sasha, Missy, Aunt, Dusty, and Spider.
We definitely learned a lot about three of those characters, two in particular. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we learned a lot about Missy for sure.
Love Missy.
I love that she was like more in the forefront this season. Like, because we barely saw her in season one. She was really secondary. So I love like watching a little bit more of her journey and getting to know her this time. We did see a little bit more of Anne. I would have even liked a little bit more, honestly.
Agreed. Yeah. We got some more of him. We saw the growth from him, especially where Harper was concerned and his relationship with her, but not enough Aunt for me.
I know. We wanted more.
More Anthony Vaughn.
His hair was so crazy at the formal, and I was like, I gotta learn more about this guy. Like,
Why did you make that choice? Like, I saw it, and I was like, oh, is it like a themed dance? Like, is it like a 90s, like, right? Like, I was just confused.
I needed to learn more, and I thought, he seems fun. We need to learn more about him. Sasha, I feel like we got a little bit less of her this season.
Less than in season one.
Yeah, because she was like a main character, I feel like, in season one and had a big part. And then season two, I kind of feel like they made her a little bit of like a caricature. Like, she was just like, she was like very too much. Like, and it was like stereotypical, just like, villain almost. Like, it was just very kind of bizarre, her character.
A little, like, unlikable, like, kind of Tracy Flick energy.
Yes, that is what it was. And she didn't really have that in season one that much, so it was kind of confusing.
Right.
But then she came around in the end.
Yeah.
And I like that they ended on, like, a good note with her.
Right.
Because I was kind of like, ooh, what are they doing here? She's suddenly this, like, caricature, very unlikable.
Exactly. Even to the point where Missy is like, you know, shut the fuck up at one point.
Yeah.
Like, she's sick of Sasha.
And she spoke for the audience in that moment. I was like, yeah, shut the fuck up, Sasha.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from you. But yeah, I mean, we definitely got more Spider too. He was such a big part. I mean, what we barely got.
I know.
Dusty.
I know. We get like
two scenes. Shirtless, mainly.
One shirtless, the other not. Thumbs up from producer Jesse on that one. Thumbs up from us all,
when
too.
When he came out in a towel in this one scene, I was like, oh my God.
I wrote in my notes, like, unnecessary but appreciated.
Yeah, it was completely.
I was literally about to say, he did not need to be in a towel.
No, not at all. It was so unnecessary to be in this hell, but I appreciated it. I mean, but wow. And like, and especially like one of your like two scenes, you're in a towel.
And he just says like, hey, Jacob's at the bush do for whatever he says.
I know. It is so funny. You know what I did like about that though? Is that did kind of like remind me of just like early like CW, WB shows. Just like, we're going to make Chad Michael Murray be naked for like no reason.
Yes.
Like, James Lafferty, you're going to be shirtless every scene in season two, like early on. You know, like, I feel like it was giving that energy. So I did appreciate that. But then maybe let him be a character.
I know. Instead, he gets like one little scene where he's like, talking to Cash about Darren.
Yeah. Which then apparently they were trying to say that like Dusty and Darren are like old friends and
right.
Like,
and I was like, is this a retcon or just like what's going on here?
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I get like, I feel like they had to take somebody out of the show and it like made sense for him. I mean, it's sad we lost the eye candy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like it was like what really would have been his storyline. Like, it's like Spider more like went on that journey.
Yeah.
I felt like in season one, they were trying to show like Dusty is kind of like the ringleader of a lot of this.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you thought it was Spider. And it's like, I feel like they were kind of trying to show like Dusty isn't really somebody who like wants to change.
I thought more with his season one, he's just like so privileged and in such a bubble that he's never been confronted with having to try or anything. And now that he's removed from that situation, it's a little bit different. But I don't know. Yeah, just we're sad that we got less Dusty is the moral of the story.
Yeah. There's just so many characters on the show.
I know. And we lost one but added two plus an adult in season two.
Right, which... Yeah.
We'll see if they all return for a potential season three.
But. So RIP Dusty. Yeah, maybe he'll be back for season three or something. That could be fun.
I mean, yeah, he could transfer back. You never know.
Like, why not?
He's grown. He's changed. And yeah.
He's just around the corner, it seems. Yeah. He's not far.
He didn't move away. He's just like boarding at the boys' school. Like he's living there, but like his home is still the same house, I assume.
I would have loved to, though, have, like, seen the schools in a competition or something. Like, had that kind of, like, in a way to, like, bring him in a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're playing rugby against each other.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, just something like that of, like,
sure.
Of some kind of, like, competition between the two schools. Maybe season three.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. What about our next prediction?
Okay. So we had a few based on the trailer. When you guys watched it. So the first one we kind of just talked about, but whether or not Dusty is in this season, I think you guys were right. Yeah. You predicted that he would.
Jillian called this.
I fully called this. I said that he was going to be at that boys' school.
And you were right.
I could not believe I was so right about that. Honestly. Yeah. Like, I was like patting myself on the back.
Yeah, that was impressive.
When they mentioned that in like the beginning of the first episode, I was like, well, goddamn it. She hit the nail on the head.
Could not believe it. Yeah. The one time I'm right.
The other thing that you all noticed from the trailers that it looked like we were getting a love triangle potentially.
Boy, did we. Mm-hmm. I think we got a love rhombus. Like
love classic triangle love squared.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Amory, Malachi, and the new boy, Rowan, who at first is like, the amount of eye fucking between Rowan and Malachi
is
out of control.
I was like, are they going to get together? Like, because I was like, this is a lot. And at first I was like, wow, those two just have chemistry. But like, I did not think that they were going to get together. Like in like the first episode,
right.
I just thought they happened to kind of be like eye fucking. I don't know.
Well, Missy says something to Malachi. She's like, hey, how are you doing after everything? Like she alludes to something that they talked about like over the school break, and he's like, oh yeah, it's fine, blah blah blah, and brushes her off. And I assume that is the fact that he is bisexual.
Oh, definitely.
Which I will say that producer Jesse called this out in the season one. You said you were frustrated that after the threesome they hint at Malachi being bi, but they don't actually confront it.
Yeah, it made more sense that they actually played out that storyline, because it felt like they just dropped it season one. But then when this all started happening, I was like, oh, they had this plan.
I was so happy that they did do that and actually like explore that storyline, because I also feel like it gave a little bit more reason to like the threesome.
Yeah.
Like, cause we were talking about like, was that really necessary? But like, then it led to this like bigger storyline with Malachi that was like super interesting. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just like a love triangle that, I mean, we have literally never seen before. I mean, literally all of them dated. I mean, Amory and Malachi dated.
Right.
Then Malachi and Rowan dated. And then Rowan and Amory date.
Like, yes.
What? I mean,
be a polyamorous couple.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe we, season three, will get a thruple. Who knows?
I bet you we're going to get a thruple season three.
We've had a thruple on other teen shows, but this was different. This was like a full-on triangle.
What was the thruple that we've gotten?
Gossip Girl, the reboot. of Gossip Girl. Oh, they're right. A throuple. But but it's not a love triangle because it was like a couple bringing in a third. And this was a full, like you said, two of them dated, then they broke up, then other, you know, type of thing. So this one is more dramatic, I think.
Yeah. I gotta say, when Malachi and Rowan, though, were dating, I thought they were super cute.
They were
like,
very cute.
I liked it.
Yes.
Like, I thought that, like, I wanted that to last a little bit longer.
Same. It was so brief.
So brief. I mean, before we knew it, Malachi was crying to Torn.
Oh my God. The music choices on this season were so spot on. I was like, A plus.
I loved it when he was just crying. It was incredible. Torn.
Nothing's fine. I'm torn.
All right. That's all we can sing or else we'll have to pay.
I know.
I mean, yeah, what a love triangle. I will say, like, we were not, like, fully right on this. Like, we thought the love triangle was going to be,
we did not,
like, Rowan and Malachi fighting over Amory.
Correct. That's what we thought.
So, at first, I was watching this, and I was like, we were so wrong. This is, like, hilarious. Like, and then I was like, well, we kind of were right. So, this is the perfect in-between one.
Yeah, we got right on part of it. It was more of a love triangle than we anticipated.
Yeah, it was, again, love rectangle plus one. Yeah. I don't know what to call it.
I mean, they clearly like edited the trailer in that way.
Oh yeah.
To make you think that's what was happening. And then they did the flip and reverse it. And
I love it. It was smart. I just love that this show does like go there.
Yeah.
And really like, you know, explore like all these different relationships. Also, everyone on this cast like has chemistry with each other. Like, I fully believe that anyone could date anyone, and what a rarity that is.
It's
like
a blessing.
It is. So like, keep on exploring that, because I'm loving everybody.
I know.
Okay, and then the last one was that in the trailer it looked like we were gonna get some unique pairings of potentially Ant and Harper and potentially Missy and Spider. So
we were right. We did get these.
Yeah, we did.
We got a lot of Missy and Spider. We really saw like their whole journey, which I like, because I do feel like they were kind of like the one couple that we like fully explored this season.
Yeah.
Whereas like everyone else was kind of like dating very briefly, or it was like very quick, or like, I mean, even Darren and Cash, like they're dating 1 second, they're fighting the next, or we don't know where they stand.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, Missy and Spider were like on and off and like had issues, but like, I just felt like we like really saw the whole journey. Like, they really, it was like in depth because it had to do with like Spider's whole storyline.
Yeah. We learn more about him and his background and why he maybe is the way he is. And Missy, you know, sees that and sort of accepts that and is so kind to him.
I know.
She's like so understanding, and like it's really, really lovely.
It was just very sweet to watch.
Yeah. I would have liked a bit more Ant and Harper. We don't really get a relationship. We get a hint of things. And then Harper's like, you know, we should be friends. And he says we should be friends. And then he, you know, falls for her. And she's like, I don't know. But I like them together. I think like he's one of those like dumb sweetie boys.
Yeah. Like, no, definitely. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like a big like dumb teddy bear type thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything disparaging about Travis Kelce, but like Ant just seems like a little silly, but like kind-hearted.
Yeah, and like he really was like caring about Harper and like listening to her, and even when they like were kissing at one point and it seemed like it was going to lead to more, and he was like, well, I learned that like consent is also about like you can't like take advantage when someone is like in a vulnerable situation. And I mean, it was just like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, it was so sweet. I just love that moment too, because it did just kind of show of like, you know, what they're all learning in Sluts. And like, and I was like, that also is just such a good like message and like what we all like should be doing and following and thinking about. I think it was such a good moment too, because he does come off as kind of like this dumb guy in the show, but that was such a smart moment,
right?
And I don't think, you know, many of the other like guys on the show would have done that at all.
No.
So it was just really nice to like see that come from him.
I think also what got me was in the finale when they're at the dance and he basically says like, I know that you told me to like just be friends with a girl and not try to, you know, date her, hook up with her. He's like telling her like, but I do like you. And she's sort of like, no.
Yeah.
Like, and he says, well, either way, like, I'm still your mate. Like, yeah. And that, I was like, yeah, like he like lets her know. And even though she rejects him, he's like, no, I'm still going to be your friend. And it's so sweet and such growth. That's the growth that we were looking for. And we get it in the final episode.
I know. I just kind of wish like maybe they would have gotten together like second to last.
I know.
So we could have just seen a little bit more of it.
We get a hint of it. The very end. They're dancing in the parking lot or
and
whatever.
It is so cute.
It's cute. So
yeah, I really, really like them together. Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. We can't watch like everyone's journey.
Not everyone can be happy and hooking up all the time.
And I think I am kind of glad too that with Harper that they still, you know, kind of had her like dealing with what happened mm-hmm. to her and dealing with her trauma, and we still saw her like going through it.
Cause yeah.
I mean, since it picks up pretty much like where it left off.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that would have felt really off if we would have just seen her like, la, 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 I'm fine. I'm so happy.
Right.
Like, that would be so unrealistic mm-hmm. and would do such a disjustice to her storyline that she went through in season one. So I think it was kind of good that we didn't see her like jump into something with somebody, because I just don't think that would have been realistic.
Yeah. Agreed. I think it was the right balance of like, she's still dealing with these things, but like maybe by the end of it, she's like looking forward to like turning the page.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do feel like then we got like growth from her, like mm-hmm. in that sense too, of like, maybe she's a little ready for something
yeah.
after everything. So we're calling that we were right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I was like, did we say it? Yeah. did we say we were right? Well, let's talk more about like what we liked in season two. Like, what did you love about this season?
I liked that we had a little bit more fun stylistically with the show. Well, I'm
stylistically.
I'm thinking about like the moment when like Cash is high and he's like dancing through the park, and it's like it's shot like a music video. And when Quinny's like investigating like Bird Psycho, it's shot like a detective novel and like or detective movie in black and white, like that kind of stuff. Missy's having a dream about spider and she's caught in a literal spider web.
Yeah,
like it's like leaning into that type of sort of silly, flashy, like we're having fun.
Yeah. You know?
So I appreciated that.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of like a fun little like twist on season two of like, mm-hmm. oh, your budget got a little bigger that you can make these choices.
Yeah.
Like just kind of something that was like unexpected, which I did think was fun. Well, I loved, you know what I'm going to say.
I do. Say it.
I mean, I love the camp episode.
It's so good.
I feel like, you know, for the first few episodes, I was kind of like, oh, like, am I sure about season two? Like, I don't really know how I'm feeling about this yet. And then we get the camp episode, and I was like, this is it. Like,
yes.
This is doing it for me. This is exactly what I want from this show. I just think it was, like, so fun to see them, like, out of the school. Everybody's together.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I think that this show really thrives too when we get like this group all together. Whether it's like them at like a party all together, them at like a school event. Like, I just think that it's like they really thrive when we get all these different like dynamics and characters together, because they're all so different, but they all like work together and like have fun together, even if they're fighting, even if mm-hmm. you know, people are mad at people. I mean, we got a Bird Psycho around, and it's still like we're still having fun, we're still playing Never Have I Ever like drinking in the bunks when we're at this campgrounds and taking mushrooms. Like, that is just like the height of the show for me.
I love any time on these shows when you take these characters outside of their normal environment
yeah.
and you put them somewhere where, like you said, they're in a confined space. They have to be together. And then they're in the bunk. They're all working together to, like, hide from the teachers. And then when they get lost in the woods, like, they have to figure out, like, who's in charge, and that dynamic of, like, who's doing what, who's taking care of whom. Like, it's the best episode. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it really, like, picked things up at the middle of the season for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I love too. It's like, you know, these characters, like, not all of them get along, and you know, a lot of them are even like fighting in the moment, but like at the end of the day, they all do like work together and like come together and just like know how to have fun together. Like, they all do care about each other,
right?
Even if they're fighting mm-hmm. or something's going on, or or even when it feels like they're against each other, like they'll all come together for like something. And maybe that's a party, and maybe that's, you know, like playing a game or like going against the teachers or whatnot. But like, I think that that's what this show does well. It's like, just because two characters are fighting doesn't mean they can't like share a drink and a bunk together. And I think other shows get like, you know, kind of like nervous to do that or feels like it's inauthentic. Mm-hmm. But like, it just really works well on this show.
I had that thought a lot when I was watching any type of party scene. And I'm like, it's interesting to me that these characters, even when they're fighting, like you said, they still go to the party.
Yeah.
Or it's not like you can't come to my party, or like they don't feel welcome. Like, even though they're pissed at someone, they're still going to show up to that party because like, it's not that serious. Like, they can still all hang out and like talk to other people and still all drink and whatever and take care of each other at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's just, the show just does that so well. I like can't get over it. It really is just like where I'm like, this is peak teen TV for me right here.
It's,
you know?
It's good. It's well made, high quality teen TV.
This is what I want. Mm-hmm. One thing I did like about this season is like, again, first couple eps, I was like a little worried. But because I felt like, you know, they did lean into a lot more of like the silliness and like the comedy, I feel like, especially in like the beginning of the season, which I did like. I mean, these characters are funny.
Yeah.
It was nice that it was like a little silly, especially after like the end of season one was like so heavy. I think it was good that like they kind of brought in some of that silliness. But I think I was like, oh, I'm kind of like missing some of the like hard-hitting topics that I feel like this show is like kind of known for. Like,
yeah,
even in like the original like series of this, like since this is a reboot, like they were known for like, you know, kind of being a little like Degrassi, like,
yeah, like
picking up on like, you know, really like tough topics and like talking about it in a good way. And I feel like that's something that they really did well in season one. So I was like, where are my hard-hitting storylines? Like, I want, you know, and
where's
not
the drama?
In like a silly
Right. Where's the serious stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like they really did, like, get there with some of these storylines. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like then, like, this season, like, did have a little bit of everything. Like, it had the silliness. It had, like, these, like, hard-hitting topics. Like, we got, you know, an abortion storyline, which is, like, very rare on like these shows to hit, and I feel like they did it in like such a great way and showed it like very realistically. So I feel like it's like they just kind of do hit on like all different like cylinders.
Yeah, and I think with that storyline, which is Amory discovers that she's pregnant and she decides to have a medical abortion, she goes to the pharmacy and gets prescription medication, we see her like go through that process, and so we see her like debating like, when do I take the pill, and like how her body handles it, her reaction to it. So I think just showing that realistically is helpful and impactful. But like also the way that Harper and Malachi show up for her during that and are like holding her hand, taking her home from school, on the phone with like emergency services, and just like really supportive and not judgmental of her.
Yeah.
Especially Malachi when he goes into the situation thinking that it's Rowan's baby.
I know.
And then he's like shocked to find out that it's his, but he still, even before that, was there for her and was just trying to be a friend and help her out.
I like loved Malachi in that moment. I was like, oh my God. Well, if I wasn't rooting for you two before, I am now.
I know.
I'm like, you have to get together. I like that they showed the like many different emotions that Amory had. Like one minute she's like, I'm totally fine. Like I'm okay. It's not a big deal. It'll be over soon. Then we see her like crying at one point.
Yeah.
We see her like just kind of like dealing and going through the emotions of it. Of like, and it's not just like one emotion you're going through. You're going through a lot. So I like that we really saw all of it.
Right. I like that her decision is never in question. Like she never questions her decision. Her friends don't question if she's doing the right thing.
Right.
But that even if you're certain of it, it's still a heavy thing to go through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like they just like handled that really well, and I feel like that was like just a very like interesting and well done storyline of like the season for sure.
I also appreciated just the difficulty of Cash sort of extracting himself from his life.
Yes. With Chuck. Oh, my God. This was so interesting.
Because I had that thought of, like, even, you know, if there's that scene where he gets out of prison and he's like, which car do I get in? Do I go with Nan and Darren? Do I go with Chuck? And he ends up, we assume, with Nan and Darren, but Chuck's not going to just let him go.
What is the song that's playing during that moment, too? It's, like, really good. I just like really
isn't
really...
it is it Steal My Sunshine?
Yes, that is what it is. Oh my God, it's such a good scene.
Yes,
yeah I just like also really appreciated the backstory that we got with Chuck and Cash. You know, they're out on a boat together and you're like, ugh, Cash, what are you doing? Why are you back with this guy?
And he knows he shouldn't get on that boat because he texts Darren, I love you, before he gets on that boat. He's like, I'm gonna die on this lake.
I actually thought he might die. Like, I really did think that. Yeah. I thought they're gonna kill a character. Like, I was kind of waiting for it. I felt like a lot of people almost died this season, and I was like, we're going to have one death at least.
Yeah.
You got to make room for Dusty to get back in.
Yeah. Not by sacrificing Cash. Sweet baby Cash.
I'm like, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But it ended up being like such an interesting conversation that we got of them really going into like their backgrounds, mm-hmm. and like where they came from, and just a little bit like more about their bond together and how this happened. Because like I was always curious of like, what is the backstory here? What's Cash's backstory? Like,
yeah.
And they're able to like explain it fully in like a 2-minute scene, which I so appreciated. Like, it's like this wasn't a drawn out like long thing. It's like in 2 minutes, like, mm-hmm. we kind of learn like what happened with Cash.
Yes, it's very economical storytelling.
Yeah.
So props to them for that.
When they said that, like, oh, that's how you got your name, and it's Cash's child of abuse and self-harm.
Yeah.
C-A-S-H. That, I was like,
fuck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. But, and again, just so much in, like, one line.
Yeah, it's so, it's all right there, and it's, yeah, it's great. It's a good scene. It's chilling, but it's,
yeah,
it's important that we know why he has gotten to that point.
Do you believe that Chuck is going to leave him alone now?
No. Honestly, yeah. Well, you know what? I think he might leave Cash alone, but I don't think he's done with Harper.
Yes, because, I would agree with that.
Because he drops Cash off at the party.
And he says, like, no, you are done. That's the last job. You're like, you did what you're doing for me.
Right. And maybe he's just like, clearly you're not in it. It's not worth it to force you to do this. But the way that he stares down Harper so malevolently as he's driving away is like, chilling.
Yeah.
So
I feel like they did that to show he's not done with her.
Mm-hmm.
That actor who plays Chuck is like really scary. Like, he does a good job with his role where I am like, when he comes on screen, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, he is just like terrifying.
Yeah, he's menacing.
Harper's got to get out of town or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know, now that she's
scared of Chuck,
she's emancipated. She should run off.
I love that Harper, Darren, and Cash all move in together and are kind of like a little family. Like, I want to see them all like cook dinner together one night.
Oh, yeah. Like, make a chore wheel.
Yeah.
Fight over who didn't do the dishes.
Oh, God. That would be fun.
Should we move on to what we didn't like in season two?
Let's do it.
So
I have thoughts.
Okay. I'm just going to throw out there that the only thing I really didn't like about the camp episode was that at the end, Quinny gets bit by a snake.
I hated this.
By a poisonous snake.
I did not like this.
And I'm like, I just, like, we didn't need that. We just didn't need it. Like, because the only thing that it happens is that, like, she loses her phone, which she didn't need to get bit by a snake to lose her phone.
Right.
And then there's really no long-term consequences except the fact that, like, she's MIA for a while and then comes back and is, like, annoyed with all her friends and then is sort of on, like, in revenge mode for a couple episodes. And I just don't think we needed a fucking snake bite to make that happen.
I mean, if you wanted a character to go through a near-death experience where we leave it off in a cliffhanger, we don't know what's going to happen, have a car crash, okay? That is what you do on these shows. You have a car crash.
That's true.
The snake bite just seemed, like, silly. It was just like, what?
I think it's very Australian, I guess.
I get it, but it almost feels like a caricature of, like, Australia, almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of, like, we're an Australian show, so we're going to have a snake bite.
Right, she went in the bush and she got bit by a creature. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt like, it felt a little weird, but I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, it doesn't really like lead to much, is why it kind of felt weird. Like at one point I was like, is she gonna die? I was like, somebody's gonna die this season.
I thought it was a joke. Like I thought that she would, like, it would turn out that she was being really overdramatic and it was like a garden snake or something. Because she was like, I have 30 minutes to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe she's just like overreacting.
I know. I feel like at times like that, it was kind of like hard to like figure out like the tone of like, wait, are we doing joke? Are we doing more drama?
Right.
Which like is kind of fun to keep it guessing. Right. But like,
well, I think once the slow-mo started happening with all the kids carrying her out of the woods, I was like, oh, I guess it's real. She's actually dying.
I was like, those shrooms have worn off and they're they're carrying her to maybe her death. We don't know. It did make me click the next episode right away, though. I was curious.
You would have done that anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like what I did not love this season is like one thing I loved about season one, and we talked about this in the last episode that we did on Heartbreak High, but they're able to talk about like hard-hitting topics and not like an in-your-face like type of way. It's very kind of like naturally woven like in the storyline, I felt like. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like this season they were trying a little too hard to like make a point. Like,
yeah,
I this PE teacher who is like, you know, just like an incel basically.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate him, yes, because he's awful, but like it was just so like on the nose, like too obvious, like too in your face, like almost cartoonish. And I just think that there was like another way to like make that point and like have these boys like learn some growth.
I see that. Yeah. And I think like he kind of feels like a character that would have been more fitting on Sex Education, where like those characters are a little like obvious in what they stand for and what they believe in.
Yeah.
And I think too, what is more sort of interesting and insidious about a lot of like men who are spewing these toxic ideas is that like they're not as in your face, they're not as cartoonish, they just seem reasonable and rational and normal. And if he had seemed more of like a like a regular, like calmer guy who was just like, I just want to help you out and like help these young men grow, and then but was like planting the seeds of these like really terrible ideas in their brains, and without like, you know, being like, we got to dig a pit for our secrets or whatever, then it would have been a little bit more realistic and a little more believable.
I felt like that would have like felt more in tune with the show.
Right.
Because I feel like, yeah, having this guy from day one be all about toxic masculinity and like grooming these boys. Like, I mean, just so over the top stuff, like the most over the top stuff you could think about with this, was just like so much. And I do think you're right. If they would have brought in just kind of like maybe this kind of even like cute looking like teacher or something, that would have been way more interesting.
Yeah. If they had at the end discovered that actually he was problematic.
Yeah.
Bravo, if you
exactly.
Will.
And maybe then like we would have just like, I probably would have taken the storyline a little bit more seriously, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It just, yeah, that I couldn't with that PE teacher.
Yes.
I was just like, I'm done.
Them being like in the bucket hats and everything. I was like, I'm completely over this.
Like,
yeah.
The ending especially is really ridiculous. Yeah. So one thing I don't think we talked about is that the first episode kicks off with like a flash forward of the school is burning down.
Yeah.
And the kids are all standing on the lawn. They're watching the school burn in their like prom clothes. And Woodsy is like, where's Harper and Amory? And then it goes, I think, 4 months earlier, some period of time before. And then we go back to the beginning of term. And we find out that what happened to the school, I think we're meant to believe like Bird Psycho burned down the school or somebody did it as like an act of violence. And it's the PE teacher and the remaining cum lords in bucket hats and torches. And they set fire to the ground to make a shape of a penis. But then the trail like leads into the school and accidentally sets it on fire, which is so absurd.
I know. How was he let back on school grounds? He also like left these kids in the woods on the camping trip. Like, and Quinny almost died.
Right. Like, how was he not immediately fired?
I know. It was just like so much over the top stuff like that. And then like the fact he's even like able to like be in on school grounds creates this massive like fire penis with three balls. Yeah. I feel like that's where they were kind of like trying to go with some comedy. And it just like didn't work out. Yeah. I didn't think it was funny.
No.
I get what point you were trying to make, but you were just like, it was just too much.
Yeah, it
like,
was a lot.
There was just another way to do it. And then I kind of hated in the end, too, how JoJo was like, and we can be sure in sluts to make sure we're like talking about stuff the boys need too. Like, there was never a point in like season one where I was like, oh, this is really only like for the girls or right. something like that. Like, that wasn't what sluts was. Right. And I just felt like they kind of like rewrote history with that. And I was like, she doesn't need to apologize right. for anything. JoJo, you are perfect. You're doing sluts great. Like,
right, because
just let it go. I hated that she like said that in the end.
And it all stems from one comment from Missy being like, you're right, Miss, men are awful. And she's like, I never said that. And she never said that. She never said anything like that. Like, Missy just got it. I think, if anything, Sasha got it into Missy's head that men are trash.
Yeah. And some men are.
Since we're talking about the final episode and the ending, we should talk about the revelation of who is Bird Psycho.
Yeah. I mean, this was an ongoing storyline throughout the entire season. Did you have any guesses like throughout the season?
I had a really like dumb guess.
What was
and
it?
I didn't think it was true, but I was like, I don't know, maybe. So in the end of the first episode, Malachi is wearing a sweater with like a bird on it. And I was like, maybe they're hinting at us, which I didn't actually believe.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's him. Because in my head, I was like, who else would it be? Like, it just doesn't.
I know.
Like, Missy and like, none of these other people make sense enough to do it. And, like, Spider's too obvious.
Yeah.
So, like, and of course, the answer is it's the new kid. It's Rowan.
I know. I, like, wish I would have guessed that, like, earlier on. But I feel like I just, like, didn't know what to think about Rowan. So I wasn't really thinking that, and I was thinking it has to be somebody like who has history with Amory, so right. it must be somebody who's like a regular on the show. And I was stumped. Like, I really didn't have like many guesses throughout it. At one point I was like, maybe it is Malachi and they just want to like really end the Amory Malachi like relationship. They want us to like get off of that, and that's like the only way to do it.
But
so then when it comes out, it's Rowan, and we find out this whole history that he has with Amory that seems to be out of left field.
I love a soap opera.
Yeah,
I love a teen soap. I love a nighttime soap. I love a daytime soap. Yeah. And this was the soapiest plot line I have seen in some time on a teen show.
It was so soapy.
It's like, so soapy.
I mean, we find out that Rowan used to go to the skate park that Amory and Harper used to go to, and he used to like hang out with Amory a little bit. They like took care of this bird together, and then everyone like made fun of Rowan. Well, Rowan got made fun of even before then,
right?
And then, you know, when they're crying over this bird, they both get made fun of. And then Amory, you know, is like, I wasn't into it. And like, you know,
classic
acts
Amory.
Like she wasn't about it. Yes, which is very her.
And then Rowan is so wounded by this. The fact that Amory, his like seemingly only friend as a 12-year-old, just sort of threw him to the wolves, goes home, is upset. His younger brother is like freaked out by the fact that he's so upset. So the younger brother runs across the street to where the parents are at a neighbor's barbecue, gets hit by a car and dies.
And I mean,
Rowan blames Amory for his younger brother's death, which is,
that's a stretch. Like,
right?
It is like, it's such a stretch to like, how can he go on this many years still thinking Amory is like the cause of it? Because like, it sounds like he went through some form of therapy. Like he went away to get help.
Yeah, he went to Dubbo to deal with this.
And then it's like the minute he's back and sees Amory, he's like, you killed my brother. Like, what?
Right? And I think at the end, they're trying to hint at like, he is doing this more so because he feels guilty, like he feels responsible,
right,
that he was the one that was upset, and so it's easier for him to blame Amory than it is to confront his own guilt, when we all know, and Amory says, it's not your fault, it's no one's fault, it was an accident. you know. But it is, it's just so ludicrous.
It's so crazy. And it's such this like big reveal moment too for something that like I honestly didn't really care that
Same.
Much about
end,
all
I was like,
season.
Okay.
Like I kind of thought the Bird Psycho thing was like kind of like a fun like underlying storyline. Like I thought it was going to be more of like a funny reveal or
right.
something or, you know, just kind of somebody a little bit more like trying to mess with her. I was like, I literally did not care who was doing this the whole time. And then you had to create this like huge backstory, huge story for this.
Yeah.
Like,
we also should mention that you see the younger brother throughout the season.
Yes.
And you don't realize that he is a ghost. And he's like, you see him talking to this brother and you assume that it's a living child. And
yeah.
you never realize that it's like him imagining his brother there.
Okay, the one time though I was like, the brother has got to be fake. Like when he was sitting on the steps like going to the dance, I was
yes.
like, no one is acknowledging this like little boy here. Like then I was like, is that brother fake? I mean, it wasn't till like the very end, but
yeah.
I was just like, this is something's off here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Ghost Boy, you gotta love it. Like it is so soapy. Like
it's so insane.
Hey, I got my car crash.
Yeah.
They did a lot of like shots of Rowan like kind of trying to tell you that he was bad, like leading up
yeah.
to it though. And I was more I just curious like what is the problem? Like,
and I thought it was going to be deeper. Like, I thought
yeah.
it was going to be that, like, Anne-Marie, like, destroyed him or started a rumor about
right.
him.
She did something deliberate to him.
Yeah, and specifically, like, to him.
Right.
Like, and maybe something, like, not that long ago or, like, something like that. And it just felt like for him to still be holding on to this, like, just felt like a lot.
Yeah.
And just, like, to where you didn't really have sympathy for him either. And I feel like we're supposed to, but like you just don't.
Right. Well, then at the end too, he's like, I just did this to teach you a lesson. He says, I just wanted yeah. you to like to learn that your actions have consequences. He's like, I didn't really want to hurt you. But he locks Harper and Anne-Marie in like the projection room or whatever.
I know.
And they're like, smoke is coming in. They're like, there's smoke. Like there's a fire. You need to let us out. And he's just like, no, watch my sand film. And like,
and
I get
like,
that he's in like crisis and
yeah.
is like breaking down. But at the same time, it's like, let them out. Like you're going to kill all three of you.
And like, I get that he's like unwell. Which I would love to hear a little bit more like about that, honestly, mm. of just like what all really is going on
right.
there. Because I just feel like in the end they really tried to like wrap it up with a nice bow and Anne-Marie like goes to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 5 minutes ago he was like locking you in a smoke filled room with fire. Like I just felt
yeah.
like, again, I'm just like not really like I don't have much sympathy for the character. And I understand like there's definitely some like, you know, mental issues like going on there and whatnot. But like the actions were not justifying all this.
It also seems like they're hinting at like some other type of I'm not a psychologist, but like it
yeah.
seems what I understand to be similar to like borderline personality disorder,
yeah.
where he is obsessed with her. And like when they're starting to date, like it seems like he really likes her to the point where he like threatens Malachi
right.
to stay away from her. So like it's very odd that like he's like he wants to hurt her and destroy her, but then he is like wants to date her. And then when he thinks that she blew him off for Malachi, which wasn't the truth, and she was very clear, like, I'm feeling sick. He is gonna like slut shame her and like basically like drop revenge porn at the school. Like that's
right.
his plan. And then she apologizes and he's like, never mind, and throws those away. And like is like, come to the dance with me. So it's very back and forth and it's hard to be like, well, but like what is the goal here? Like what is really
right.
happening? Where is this coming from?
I think that is such a good point. Like he did really mm-hmm. seem to like Anne-Marie at one point. It was not all about like revenge.
Right.
He seemed to want to be like really close with her
yeah.
and not just to like kill her.
Yeah.
I think this is a classic I'm gonna get you or I'm gonna get you back situation.
Wow. Bringing in the pop girly references.
Like I'm either going to kill you
yeah.
or you're gonna be with me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is kind of like what it was like. It was pretty wild. It was something. You know what I wanted? I wanted Malachi to come in on a white horse at the end, saving Anne-Marie. That's what I wanted.
Instead, that motherfucker's on a plane to Switzerland.
So annoying. I could not believe he was on the plane. I couldn't believe they did that. I was like, no, in these shows, he's supposed to come back at the end, at least riding on a bike and being like, oh no, I heard there was a fire. Is Anne-Marie okay? Like, yes. I needed that.
And instead, he's like crying on a plane.
I was like, that is not how we do these shows.
I was very upset by that.
I was so mad. When we actually saw him on that plane, I couldn't believe it.
I know.
I was like, wow, what are you doing?
And too realistic. The letter burned.
Yes, the letter burned.
We're never going to read it.
No.
I was so sad. I know. We know Malachi wrote her a letter, which must have been that telling her he's in love with her, I'm guessing, because he says that to Harper before he leaves.
Yeah.
And now we'll never know what's in it.
I mean, at least she knows because Harper told her.
Yeah.
But that is a good point.
Yeah, I'm glad we got that at least. Yeah. But I just wanted, you know.
Same.
Call me old fashioned. I wanted Malachi to just show up there at the end and save Anne-Marie. Okay?
As did I.
But I mean, Malachi's got to be back, right?
I think he's coming back. I think we can't lose Dusty and Malachi. What's Anne-Marie going to do? Date Rowan? We can't have that.
But can we actually have Malachi, like, solve his issues in season 3? Yeah. Because we keep, like, touching on things with him and never, like, fully going there. And, like, it's just so frustrating. Like, I want him to, like, actually explore his sexuality, like, and figure it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
You do? Or you want him to be with Anne-Marie?
I think that it's, like... I want him to be with Anne-Marie, but, like, I don't need to just watch them in, like, this happy, like, relationship
together.
Although she
did say, like, oh, if you would have just talked to me about it, I would have been totally cool with you, like,
yeah,
working through that.
Exactly. Right. Like, still being there for him, it doesn't, you know, mean she can't date him or support him or whatever.
I want Malachi and Anne-Marie to be endgame.
Right.
But we can go through some twists and turns. Like, I need more than, like, one episode of Malachi, like... You know, trying to figure out his sexuality. Like, I really thought that was going to be a big theme, like, for the rest of the season. So,
yeah, because he kind of just he's like, oh, I'm bi, and starts dating Rowan immediately. And isn't really like thinking about like what this means. It's just like, I like this boy.
He also seems like really sad. And like a lot of the season, like, he's like not OK.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of Anne-Marie.
No, it's like he's got some stuff to work through, I think.
Yeah. Like Anne-Marie doesn't have that much power.
No.
People think she does. And I'm like,
she thinks she does.
I feel like, though, people like go after her a little bit too much. Like, I feel like, though, I get very like protective of like main characters.
Same.
And I'm kind of like, okay, she hasn't like destroyed all of their lives. Like, let's like take a step back here for a second. Like, she made some mistakes, which like they all have, though. I just think it's so weird that they put it all on Anne-Marie.
I agree, though. Like, my thing with Anne-Marie, it's like she's trying to change in the whole season. She's like, I'm different, I'm better. And then she's still I think her biggest downfall is that she's self-obsessed.
Yeah, she is.
And you know, Malachi calls her on that and is like, it's not always about you. And I think that that's something that takes a long time to learn, especially when you're a teenager. And like, I think that's just something she has to grow out of. But she clearly cares about other people and can put them first. It's just sometimes she slips up.
I think that's why, like, I am very defensive of her, because I do feel like she at least is, like, trying. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think that she, like, tries to be a good person and she just falls short sometimes, like, as all people do, especially teenagers.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a lot of these characters are like falling short at times or not always like doing the right thing, and like, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I just think it's like so wild that like everyone in the school is like putting so much on her when I don't even think she's the worst character.
No, not at all.
But what else do we want to see in season 3? Hopefully we get one, fingers crossed.
I think we've talked about this. We want Harper to sort of, you know, be a little lighter, you know, not completely forget her past, but sort of try to find some joy.
Yeah.
And not just like that, like shut down, like getting through it, but like try to actually be like happy.
Yeah.
Maybe Ant's a part of that. I would love that personally. We'll see.
I would love to see like a relationship with them grow and us like actually be able to see it and like see them like figure that out.
Yeah.
And like what that looks like. And that's why I kind of hope like Chuck doesn't come back to like haunt her and like do something like revenge to her or whatever. Because I think I'm ready to kind of put that storyline behind. And I just want to explore like different, you know, facets to this character.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like we don't know Harper that well.
We don't. We don't really know a ton about her because she was so like antagonistic for Amory in season one. So yeah. We didn't get a ton beyond her sort of traumatic experience.
I mean, do you want more Missy and Spider in season three?
Of course. I want them to date publicly.
I know, me too.
Openly.
Yeah.
I want them to be boyfriend, girlfriend and hold hands.
Of course. I know we need it. I need a shot of them walking through the hallways, like holding hands, you know?
He says at the party.
You're blushing.
I'm blushing.
You're literally I'm blushing with what you're about to say.
Anyway. They're at the party and he like says to her, like, he's like, I want to be different. And he literally says, I want to be better for you. Or he says, you make me want to be better or something like that. And I was just like, I was kicking my feet like, oh, so sweet. And it doesn't last. But I was like, in that moment, I was like, oh, like that. What a dream.
Those are the lines we want.
Exactly.
You know? That is what I want to hear.
It's like a little catnip for a teen show. You know?
I did, though, like Missy's response of like, well, I don't want you to just be better for me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I thought I was like, oh, she's flipping it on its head. Like I was like, these are new teen shows. Like that is a good response to that of like, you need to want it for yourself and like not just because you want to be with me. Mm-hmm. Then I just love though that it did work out for them in the end.
Yeah.
It was very cute. Them slow dancing.
Yeah.
Did they slow dance?
They did slow dance. Yeah. She walks up to him and asks him to dance.
Yeah. We love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to show me the whole gang at, you know, events.
The gang
I better see a freaking lake, a body of water in season three. We got none of that this go around.
No swimming.
Like, I'm sorry, we are in Australia. Get in the water. Like, I need more of that season three. I get we got a zoo this season, but I need a body of water.
Yeah, I hear ya. A beach day.
Yeah, get me a bonfire then at night.
Oh, yeah, we love
That's
that.
That's what we want.
Mm-hmm. Splashing around in the waves.
Yeah.
Very cute.
I want to see the whole gang in a body of water.
I think that sort of sums it up. I think, you know, we've talked about what we liked in season two, what we didn't like, what we hope for more of in season three. I think we covered pretty much all the bases.
I mean, what are your overall thoughts on season two? How would you rate it?
I think it wasn't as good as season one, but it's like you said, it's hard to do a follow-up season.
Yeah.
For any show, especially like a teen show, you're always comparing it to the first season when it's fresh and it's new and there's no expectations. So I think I would rate it like as a follow-up, like a B+. I really enjoyed the season. Aside from all of the Rowan bird psycho stuff.
Yeah.
But everything else up until that point at the end, I loved.
Yeah, I think I would give it a solid B.
Okay.
Again, I thought season two was very good. It's usually very difficult to do. I felt like it was like a little bit just of a different season. Like I definitely think season one was better. But I think I struggle a little bit when a show comes out like 2 years later and we're still dealing with like consequences that happen and we pick up like almost right where we left off.
Yeah.
And it's like, I put that behind me. I mean, I know you like can't do that though for these characters. So like I'm torn because I think it's good, but...
But also then you watch it all in one day and it's like, okay, well, we waited 2 years for that.
I know. I feel like this is a teen show that could have like 15 episodes.
Yeah, it could.
Because it's like we're just following them at school. Like, give me more. Like, and we like watching them all just kind of like hang out. And like, we like watching these characters grow and like getting a lot of, and there's a lot of characters. And we want more like in-depth stuff with a lot of them.
We could see a little bit more of each of them individually, I think. And that would round out the scenes that they have together. 16 episodes would be good.
Because I just feel like we didn't really get that much growth. Like, Amory's having the same problems. The only growth that we, like, fully got was Spider.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, like, about it. So, So that's why I think this season was a little lackluster for me, is I just kind of, like, wanted more for these characters a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But again, love this show. It is so great. I really hope we get more of it.
I know.
And I just, you know, I'll be looking up flights to Australia in the meantime.
Yeah. Practice your slang and your accent.
I know. Well, the accent might need a little bit of whack. What was that?
That actually, I didn't think that was too bad.
I don't, that was like British / country. Like, I don't know
That's
what that was.
That's kind of what Australian is it not?
I don't know, but I love it and I'm here for more of it. And
yeah,
stay deadly, Hartley High.
Indeed.
All right. Well, before we go, we got to do our as if rant. Mm-hmm. So this is a part of the show where we rant about something from Heartbreak High season 2 for 15 seconds. We only have 15 seconds. Claire.
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
I will happily go first.
She's ready.
I am ready to go.
Producer Jesse is starting the clock.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Letting a group of teenagers wander off alone, unsupervised, into the wilderness as if. I'm sorry. If I let my, like, students wander off alone when nightfall is coming into the desert with snakes and spiders, and also no adult supervision, I would be fired.
That was good. That was, and also very true.
Right?
That was kind of wild.
Yeah.
There's not much adult supervision in this show, even though there are adult characters.
Yeah. But, I mean, Darren's family just completely disappeared.
All the adults disappeared. Anne-Marie's mom was in, like, one scene, and they weren't even in it together.
No, we get more of her little sister than we do of the mom.
Yeah, all the adults disappeared, which, that's fine with me.
Yeah, honestly, who needs them?
All right, I'm up.
Yep, ready?
I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
All the campaigning around school captain, as if. Honestly, who cares? This was multiple episodes, and the characters care so much about this when they barely even stay at school for a full day. They just come and go when they want. But suddenly they care about being captain? No one is even saying that they need this for their future.
Right?
They really don't talk about future much in this show.
No.
Is that just like an American thing where it's like, I need this for my college application?
I don't know.
I don't know. All right. I think we did it.
Did.
We have broken down season 2 of Heartbreak High. We better be getting a season 3. So Netflix, if you're listening, renew this show, please. I don't want to lose sleep over this. Thank you all so much for listening. Claire, tell them where they can find us.
You can find us wherever you get your podcast. And while you're there, don't forget to rate and review us. Please give us 5 stars. You can also find us on social media, particularly TikTok and Instagram, at previously on _teen TV.
Thanks for listening.